Hello and welcome to 35 Minute Movies Presents The Emma Stoners. I'm Cameron and I'm joined by Emma Stone's number one fan, Oise. How's it going today, man?
It's going good, man. We were just chatting about this. It's been a while. It's been a while since we've talked all things Emma Stone.
It has been too long. Life sort of got in the way. As it always does. This has been, Vin Diesel started up. We thought Vin Diesel had some big breaks. This has been some of the biggest breaks. We are planning, hopefully we'll get these out pretty consistently to finish off Emma for the end of the year. And then we'll move on to our next fella who will be...
We were due to start
at the beginning of December, just in terms of planning, but that hasn't happened. We're going to reboot slightly. I hope with a slightly newer format, a newer situation, yet to be announced, but we'll see how it all pans out in the end. What's new with Emma Stone? Do you have any Emma Stone related
There's news? Not really anything new with Emma Stone. Obviously, No Way Home did come out. Spoiler alert, I guess. She wasn't in it.
No.
Which we thought, we knew she wasn't going to be, but I think there was, at least I remember a while back when sort of all the rumors were flying around, there was talk of her maybe being in it.
There was.
And then she wasn't. Yeah.
The initial plan was to have her in it. And I'm a Kirsten Dunst, but I think COVID made that a bit harder.
Yeah,
and obviously
sure.
She was heavily pregnant at the time of filming, even the reshoots.
Yeah.
So,
One thing I want to quickly mention, there's talks now of potential future for Spider-Man. Do you think there is a future where we can see Emma Stone come back, even as like a Spider-Gwen or something like that?
I've seen that rumor and I don't know how much I want to believe the Spider-Gwen movie in the works.
I don't think it'll happen, but obviously with with possible franchises continuing, franchises that she was in continuing, I think that could be cool if they could make
it watch
work,
it
but
I would watch it yeah. I would be there I'd watch it 100%. Will it happen? That's anyone's guess.
Probably not.
We know the Electro movie's happening, which is obviously based in her sort of domain, because I believe there was a box office threshold in Jamie Foxx's contract that it had to pass to get him unlock. It was almost like one of those milestone awards for subscribing to a Kickstarter or whatever. Like, oh yeah, if we can get Spider-Man past $500 million, Jamie Foxx gets an Electro movie that no one wants, which is interesting. You've also got Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man possibly coming back to do other things as well. Hot rumor at the moment is that he'll be revealed in the Morbius movie, or or at least sort of built upon from there. But we'll see how that
be interesting, yeah.
goes, because I don't know what Sony want to do with this now. God knows.
Spider-Gwen,
Spider-Gwen. I would watch it.
The Emma Stone fans demand it.
I mean, I do. I demand it. I'll watch anything Emma Stone at this point. But nearly at the end, this is us nearly finishing up, which is crazy when you think about it. It's obviously should have been a long time ago, but we're here now. We're talking about The Maniac and Zombieland in that order.
Yeah.
In that order,
yes.
Or is it Zombieland and Maniac? Okay, Maniac and Zombieland. Two movies, well, not two movies, one TV show,
Maniac and Zombieland. Yeah.
Out of character for us, as we never usually talk about TV shows on this, but here we are. We thought Maniac would be a good substitute for Marmaduke, which I feel probably the case.
Yeah, but like also the fact that it is a sort of mini series, but it's a very contained story.
Mm-hmm.
Emma is the main character of it. I feel like you can't look at her career and not talk about this. It's such an interesting project. I remember seeing it when it came out and just, I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
It's very unique as well, so.
We're talking about Maniac, which was directed all 10 episodes by Cary Fukunaga, who did No Time to Die this year, which is a big step up for that. And he did True Detective as well, I believe.
The first season.
So yeah, this just tell me about what happens, because it is quite insane.
Yeah, so you've essentially got two strangers, Annie and Owen. So they're played by Emma Stone and Jonah Hill, and they sign up for this pharmaceutical test program, and essentially they're there to sort of a company's testing their drugs on them, and it's sort of set in this like sort of kind of dystopian future, and over the course of the program, they sort of discover parts of their memories and lives and things that, you know, maybe they weren't sort of aware of before, but also their sort of visions and their dreams through these like drugs become interconnected, and they never know why, because everyone has very sort of singular visions. Theirs start to link, and it starts to prove very dangerous for the company, and for them as well. And that's the sort of whistle stop tour of it. It's a lot. It's in a good way. It's a sort of real mind bending sci-fi. Every episode is kind of contained to a degree, and it's like its own sort of story, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it the most, is the fact that there is these different genres, I guess, in every episode. Yeah. You've got a kind of like seance murder mysteries kind of part of one. You've got the one that stood out to me, because I was rushing to finish last night, because I started it whenever we finished the last episode, and then I completely fell off because of I moved to a travelodge and stuff, and I was finishing it last night, and I was watching one where Emma Stone was an elf. Like a fantasy world. You've got the sort of like Florida mum and dad, like gangland stuff going on. You've got there's loads of different stuff covered in this, and it is really unique.
And she does a Scottish accent at one point.
Yeah. Oh dear. It's a very interesting series, and I kind of annoyed I didn't finish it when I first started watching it all the way back in 2018, because it is really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of it. I loved it when it came out. Rewatched it again for this, and just, you know, fell in love with it again. I think it's such good storytelling. And I remember when it came out and people were like, oh, this is like such an intelligent show. It's, you know, like so clever. I don't think it ever is that intelligent. I don't think it's ever trying to be. I remember people disliking it for thinking it was like smarter than the audience. It was like one of those shows. I wouldn't agree with that. I don't think it is that hard to keep up with. I don't think it tries to keep you at bay.
No, I think I think maybe what people are getting confused with thinking it's smarter than the audience is the fact that the first episode is really slow, like really, and it takes a while. Yeah. Now, the first couple episodes are really, really slow.
Yeah.
Which is what I noticed. Especially when that was one of the things that turned me off for the first one. I don't watch TV all that often. Mm-hmm. I don't watch a lot of television shows. Most things I watch are like really, really quick sitcoms. So back in 2018, this Cameron was like, nah, we're not sitting for this, because it's too much. It's 10 episodes long, and I don't think I could have done with that. But I realized this time around that it was quite snappier once you kind of get past the first couple episodes. Yeah. Some stuff gets shorter, but I think that might be what people are getting confused with slow pace versus intelligence. But that's what kind of seemed to be the case with Eternals as well, as a weird kind of people mistake things taking being slow and quite plodding to be this is really intelligent and really like really
I think people also take sort of stories that have multiple arcs as highbrow, I guess, if you want to say.
Yeah.
And like you know there is sort of commentary on like our society and, you know, pharmaceutical companies and just generally sort of big companies and how they sort of can use people. But I don't think it's ever anything that's like trying too hard. Like, I think it is just a very entertaining show about sort of, you know, these two people just having the absolute weirdest drug trips, realistically.
Yeah, basically. that is it. And it's I don't think it takes itself overly seriously either. Like it doesn't go all in on the whole like just being pretentious. Like, it's not. It is very watchable, very easy, and very funny. There's lots of very funny moments, I think.
Yeah.
That's why they get Jonah Hill and Emma Stone in. When you want two people that are both great actors and both amazing at comedy, and this is the show for them, because they're getting to... Both of their strengths are played into in this show, because Jonah Hill 100%. And Emma Stone are both incredible actors, as proven by all the films they've ever done. And then... they're also great at comedy. I mean, we talked about Emma Stone and Jonah Hill in the beginning of this series was super bad, and getting to stretch their comedy chops in this again in a little bit more, I guess, highbrow comedy. It's not quite dick jokes galore, but it is still very funny. So yeah, it's just a different kind of comedy, different kind of acting for them, and I think they're both suited. We should talk a bit more about the acting, because I think they are pretty well cast.
They've got great chemistry as well, like really, really good chemistry. And I think because, again, you know, Emma Stone has had so many great partnerships, acting partnerships in her career, it's easy to sort of forget that, like, they are so good together in this. And also, this is like the actor's dream project. Like, you get to play so many different characters and tap into all kinds of, like, genres and tones and, like... You can easily see why they sort of jumped at the chance to be in this, because they get to play so many different fun characters in these sort of various contained episodes, and that was really cool as well. And yeah, they are both. Emma's fantastic. There's a great sort of arc with her sister, and she's just really good. And then Jonah Hill's got an arc with his brother / imaginary friend, who's played by Billy Magnussen. which I learned too. He was also in No Time to Die.
He just happened to be there.
yeah. And just again, everyone just sort of plays off of each other really well. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, also Justin Theroux and, you know, Sally Field are in this. They're also fantastic.
It's just a lot of stat cast that sort of just makes a small appearance from time to time. You're like, oh my god, Sally Field's in this. Like, oh
yeah,
it's really great like that. I do love when they go and I think it's when they go and get Justin Theroux. There is a very lovely scene with a VR, including VR, which I thought was just fucking... And that was one of the... Back in 2018, it was one of the reasons I switched off. I was like, this is fucking mental. I'm done. This is not it. What is going on now? Involving, I think, it's just sex in VR. And I was like, Jesus Christ, this is with a weird alien lady. I was like, oh, this is
something you can't really look at this and be like... This show is trying too hard. When it's literally, it has scenes alien. Like that. There's a seance as well where they're trying to bring a character back from the dead. It's just, there's like so much just bizarre shit in this, which is why I personally really like it. I think it's just, it's so much fun to watch.
I'd recommend searching out if you can, because, well, if you've got Netflix, it's pretty easy to find. It's really breezy 10 episodes. They're not all an hour long, which is one of the things that kind of, helped me get through it, was the fact that I was making quite quick work of them all. You could get this done in the day easily done in the day, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and also what we learned at the start of the episode was it's actually kind of a soft reboot of a Norwegian series called Maniac.
The premise is somewhat similar. Instead of like being a drug trial, it's based on one man's so the Norwegian series is based on one man in a psychiatric hospital who hasn't said a word, but in his dreams he's doing all of these insane sort of stuff, covering different genres. I saw one where he was in like the military, there was one where he was doing the fantasy stuff. There's it looks really interesting. It's not the same, it's very loosely based, I would say. It's not like, it shares a name and the genre hopping per episode sort of situation, but it isn't, there's no kind of like background stuff outside of that, other than the him sort of coming to terms with mental illness, I think, but I have not seen it, so I couldn't possibly comment. I want to try and find it if it's anywhere chilling on the internet somewhere, because I think that'd be really cool to watch. But
it does sound very interesting.
I'd love to see the roots. I'd love to see why he decided to make that again, other than just money.
It looks like it was kind of well received from the sort of quick glance at Google I had. It looks like it was well received. So it's not exactly like it was a bad show that was, but then again, you know, I feel like maybe it was one of those things where people hadn't heard of it and there was a cool loose idea there with sort of this whole thing about sort of different visions and different episodes within the sort of wider story. That maybe Carrie wanted to tap into.
Definitely. I think that is probably what happened. Easily what happened. I think just that kind of loose premise is really interesting to do and really interesting to look at. And then adding and build, and he definitely built it by looks, but he definitely built upon it. Like, there's no doubt about it. There's a lot more. There is, as much as we were saying, there isn't, it doesn't take itself too seriously. There's a lot of commentary. There is a lot of all that. And he definitely built upon it and made it very, Americanized it very well. And I think it's a great series.
It just has a fascinating world as well. I think, I think that's, it does such a good job of taking elements from our world and sort of, you know, flipping them on their head. And because it's never really specified when it's set, but it sort of seems like a kind of post-apocalyptic kind of world. Could also be set in the past, but like the sort of way the, like, there's like, you get sort of I forget their names, but like, if you can't afford something, you get, I think it's like an ad buddy or something will pay for it, and then sit with you and rattle out however many, it'll just, you know, like, it'll just sort of regurgitate various ads to you as a sort of way of, you know, making that sort of payment back, things like that, and they do a lot with that, so sort of these small things that you grow accustomed to throughout the world, and I quite like that as well. I thought that was quite cool.
interesting like visual look as well. I feel like the entire the visuals of this are very impressive, just from set design and sort of like world, the way the world looks, and then just cinematography in general. It's really really well done in that regard. It's one of those ones where you just gotta kind of watch it. You gotta watch it. I don't want to spoil it. I mean, we kind of got spoiled it a little bit, but I'd just have a wee look, because it is really, really good.
And what would you think score wise?
Oh, let's go. What do we do? We have five. I was gonna say eight, but I've forgotten how long it's been. Go four.
8 out of 5. Whoa.
8 out of 5. It's that good.
Eight out of five.
No, a 4. Yeah, a four.
I would match you with that. I would match you with that. I think there are. I think it's always harder to rate a series because it's longer. It's got more chance to sort of dip. There are that sort of one Highland episode where she sort of plays like a Scottish elf, something like that. That episode, to be fair, to its credit, it's only like 26 minutes long, but it's compared to the rest of the stuff, it's not good. It's my least favorite episode. And probably what drags it down for me is that one episode.
That's why it's an 8.
That's why it's a 4 and not higher.
Fair enough. Like I said, Maniac is streaming on Netflix. Next up, we're talking about Zombieland Double Tap, which, like, once again, is directed by Ruben Fleischer. 2019 release. 2018 release. 2019.
2019, yeah.
Yeah. Oasis, what happens in this hellhole of a movie?
It's set a decade after the first Zombieland, and we sort of pick up with Tallahassee, Columbus, Wichita, and Little Rock, who are played again by Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, Abigail Breslin. And this time they've taken up camp in the White House. They're just sort of living in the White House, chilling. Sort of various events start to pull them back out into the world. And when the sort of White House is overrun and they need to sort of seek out a more permanent place to live, and they hear about this place called Babylon, which is apparently just free of zombies, and so they decide to head there. And so we're back on another road trip with these characters, kind of like the first one. It's fine.
Is it?
I enjoyed it when I first watched it. I think the fact that Cameron and I haven't rewatched it for this episode just tells you exactly what you need to know about it.
No, so I think one of the reasons I didn't rewatch it was because it just didn't stand out to me at all that there was anything that I needed to watch again after the first watch, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I thought that it's very one layered. There was not a lot else going on in there. There's not a lot else to kind of pick up on. It wasn't even fun for me to rewatch it the first time. So why would I want to rewatch it again, if that makes sense? It's just sort of like,
yeah.
I watched it quite recently. I think I watched it at the end of last year ish. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those ones where it's like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
I do. I enjoyed it the first time I watched. I did. You know, I thought it was funny. It did sort of, it did everything well. It was comfortable. I would say it was a comfortable kind of movie. However, it is just a rehash of the first one. So I feel like if you're going to watch a Zombieland movie, stick on the first one. It does everything that this movie does, but better. I feel like this sort of exists purely because people were demanding it so much.
Yeah.
And it was obviously 10 years since the first one. Everyone's now huge. They're all Academy Award nominated. Emma won as well. So I think this film existed to capitalize on a lot of that. But it feels like it was also 8 years too late. Like, if you wanted to do a Zombieland sequel,
totally,
you should have done it a couple years after that first one, when there was a zombie boom.
Yeah.
When you could have made this a bit more interesting. When, by the way, the actors were probably more bothered. Because this, and this is something I still remember, the performances aren't very good. Not that they're bad.
Yeah.
No one cares. And you can really tell. You can really tell that no one cares. And it's just, the film exists just for the sake of existing, I think.
Oh, 100%. They're there solely to cash in on the fact they're all big, like you said. They're there mm-hmm. all to just sort of get a paycheck and leave. Even I just don't think they had a story. They never had a story. They would have made one about 6 years ago, before this, if they'd had one, but they didn't. So they just sort of went, what can we do to just sort of scrape together something and then just push this out, which it wasn't fun anymore. It wasn't, checking in with these characters wasn't what I kind of wanted.
Yeah, and the other thing is, it's like, I know that everyone did want to come back for a sequel because the writers are Rhett Reese and Paul Wernock. And they did want to come back for it, but then they wrote Deadpool. Then they wrote Deadpool 2. They just got busy. And like, it was just, you know, I think, you know, when a film like Zombieland's anniversary comes around, when it's sort of 10 years, because it is a little bit of a cult classic, people talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of in the cultural zeitgeist a little bit more. And I think they thought, people are going to be talking about it. If we release another one, they're going to go see it. And I think they did. I think this film did okay, all things considered.
Yeah.
But just, yeah, I don't know. How good is it, realistically?
Yeah. God knows. I don't see the point. I still don't see the point.
Yeah.
But there is an element of me that thinks there could have been a good film here.
If 100%.
If they had tried. I don't even know if they needed to do it earlier. And maybe earlier would have been better. But they could have made a good film. I just don't think even Rhett Reese and that were fucking bothered.
Yeah.
I think if they
had tried, then maybe we could have gotten something genuinely. Because I don't think the actors don't care. I think it was the fact that they were given a very sort of weak script, because they all came back,
mm-hmm.
right? They all came back to, which I think shows their, you know, love for this world. And Zombieland kicked off most of their careers, realistically.
Yeah.
I think if they were given a good story, they would be 100% committed to it. It's just the fact that they weren't.
Totally. Totally. That's the thing. We're struggling to find things to say. I feel like we're sort of repeating ourselves now because we're struggling to find things to say, because there's nothing else. There's nothing to say. We talked about it before. Zombieland was originally a TV show.
Yeah.
And this movie sort of worried me. It kind of made me glad there wasn't a TV show, because if this is what we were going to get week after week after week after week, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it at all. Yeah. If anything, it proved Sony's point that it wasn't a viable television show in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't enough to kind of go off.
Good Bill Murray cameo.
Yes. The
really funny scene, actually. Really funny scene.
The one saving grace of this is I got to see Bill Murray kill Grace Randolph.
Kill Grace Randolph, yes. best part of the movie, man. Honestly,
it's such a funny scene. It's such a random scene as well. But
Garfield 3 as well.
Oh yeah,
make that green light Garfield 3, man.
Do it. Do it right now.
I think there is fun to be had with it. I think there, you know, I do think it is funny, and there are some cool, you know, the zombie kill of the week is still pretty fun. And they do, it is bigger, so they throw a lot more money at the screen, and so the action's sort of more bombastic. But I just think, and you know, so like, I think if you do watch it, you are going to be entertained. But I just think, in the grand scheme of things, you would just be better putting that first one on.
Totally. I'm curious to see how much money it made, because
yeah,
it doesn't overly scream out moneymaker. And I think it was a bomb in the end.
122.8 million.
Mm-hmm. Which is a step up from the original, to be fair.
Which was 102.4, yeah. Which was 102. And the budget of it was 45, so they turned a profit.
Yeah. To be fair. I thought it made a lot less money than that then. I was expecting about 50 million US, but clearly not. I don't know what happened then. But
at the end of the day, though, the Zombieland, it had almost double the budget of the first Zombieland and made not that much more realistically. So comparatively, was it a success? I don't know. Because they put much more money into it. Although that money was probably to bring the talent back, most of it. Let's be honest.
Oh yeah, totally. All that was a massive paycheck increase. I'm just looking here to see, you know, just in comparison to the first one. And the first one made more money in the US, but worldwide, sort of like, yeah. It's an interesting one. It had a big.
I will say another thing this film gets right is it gives us the and Emma Stone. Which the world deserves, you know. When you start listing a cast and you list your sort of high profiles, and then you go with big name star and biggest name star.
Oh yeah.
So this is like Woody Harrelson, Abigail Breslin, Jesse Eisenberg,
and Emma Stone.
We love to see it.
We're adding it in as the extra, the sprinkle on top. She's the cherry on the top there.
She became the biggest star out of this film. And this is a film that has Woody Harrelson, who in that first one was kind of established. Mm-hmm. 10 years later, Emma Stone's the biggest star.
Yep. Easy stuff. God. What a film. What a
what a masterpiece. What we're trying to say is Zombieland 2, best movie of all time.
Yep, just for the billing. Just for the billing alone, to be fair.
Ignore everything else we said.
Exactly. There's nothing else here. Score. Hit me.
I'm gonna go 3. I do. Yeah, it's a sort of very middle tier film. Like I, as I say, you know, if you do chuck it on, you're not gonna be bored. You are going to be entertained. I think there is entertainment value in it. So I think it's a perfectly fine movie. It's just not anything to sort of, you know, write home about.
Totally. I'll go 2.
Yeah, makes sense.
Just verging on actively bad, but has a couple saving grace moments, you know, or killing grace moments.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, but no, it's not a good film. Bill Murray cameos, amazing. We love that, but everything else, yeah, and the billing.
Zoe Deutsch is really good in it. Actually,
she. To be fair, I like her. I think she's.
Very good. She's very, very funny.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's a very funny lady. Very good actress. I feel like she's not had her due yet. And I really hope one day we'll be able to make a Zoe Deutsch.
We've talked about this. Because we have a group chat, which is now currently the Hayley Lou Appreciation Society.
I'm still in the Florence Pugh era, to be fair. But
to be fair, yeah, because it was Florence Pugh. We sort of moved on. However, I remember when we were sort of talking about that, we were sort of swithering between Zoe Deutsch and Hayley Lou Richardson. Mm-hmm. Both very underrated actresses. Zoe Deutsch. I can't pronounce that word.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really good in this. Really, really funny. Mm-hmm. She cares to be... She's the only one that cares about being there.
Yeah. She's in a couple of films I really want to watch that only really got US releases. So I need to try and...
Yeah.
Because she's the queen of indie at the moment. She does a lot of indie stuff.
Oh, like, 100%. 100%.
She's in a lot of indie stuff, which I really want to have a look at. So I'll have to have a look at that because I'm a big fan. Well,
so before we wrap up, do we want to quickly talk about some Common Sense Media reviews?
Yeah, go for it. Hit me some Common Sense Media reviews while I take a wee bite of my bacon roll here.
So, you know, the sort of average is, yes, this film's about, eight, you know, kids say age 14, parents say age 15. It's about right for this. However, this is the first review, so you're gonna take a guess of the age. The language was horrible. If you don't mind exposing kids to cussing, violence, and gratuitous sex, then I suppose you will think this movie is totally awesome. If you do, you're a bad parent. Otherwise, it reflects the culture of today's lacking morals and positive messages. What do you think?
In terms of like
stars,
age rating.
Oh, stars and age rating.
I'll go 3 stars and 18 plus.
4 stars, 18 plus. So
four
despite,
stars?
Despite all of that crap they said. Oh my god, right, this is... okay, right, you have to guess the, again, star rating and age for this. So if you've seen the first movie, this one is much better. It takes everything you love about Zombieland and dials it to 11. It has even more kissing and sex noises. It's such a good movie for pre-adults. I love it.
I'm going to go 5 stars, 11 plus. Yeah.
5 stars, 17 plus. So based on this review, the user's metric for what makes this film a good movie is the fact that it has more kissing and sex noises than the first one. Oh,
I mean, that's what makes a movie for me.
I was going to say, this person clearly knows what they like, and good for them.
And it's kissing and sex noises.
They should watch Nymphomaniac.
They should. They'd love it. They would combust. They would absolutely combust if they watched that. Oh, dear. Anything else for him moving this?
That's it, really. There's a lot of 18 plus 1 stars just saying that it's very gratuitous, and this one's the sort of complete opposite. It just says it has too many sexual references. How can a movie have too many sexual references? God, did you not read the previous review?
That needs to be enough. That's not enough. That's
true. Although they say there were a lot of humorous moments and they did laugh and the ending was classic Zombieland, but only gave it 1 star. Okay, cool.
I'd like to send a shout out to Common Sense Media for providing some great comedy elements to this podcast. I feel like they've really made it this season. Big shout out, big Christmas wishes to Common Sense Media.
I can't wait for our next actor, because they're going to have some very... They've got some movies which will have some very interesting Common Sense Media
reviews.
Think of the sparkly one.
And think of what's
exactly
going to be said.
It.
Yeah, oh boy. Oh, that'll be an interesting
one. Oh boy.
One.
But yeah, that's it, I think.
Yeah, that about wraps us up for this episode, I feel, as well. I feel that we've covered all bases. Anything you'd like to say to the people before we end up here?
Watch Zombieland Double Tap, the best, sexiest movie of all time.
Exactly. Streaming on Netflix as well, I believe. So
yeah,
might as well.
No excuse.
But yeah, thank you very much for watching. We're going to be doing, is it Cruella and the Croods already next?
Yes, which is
Jesus
our last episode.
Christ.
It's the sort of last films that she does. Mm-hmm. We have a La La Land special coming out as well.
Yep.
Which we've talked about
year.
Before.
Yep.
Yeah. Which should be fun. Look out for that.
Yep, look out for that. But apart from that, I'm Cameron. You can find me on Twitter at CamsOG. I do stuff on Ohio Films on YouTube, ohiofilms.com. There's a lot going on over there. I say a lot going on. We're not posted in like 50 days, but still, it's all kicked off randomly in the last 28 days, and God knows why, but we'll see you. It's all gone a bit mental. Oasis, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at OasisOasis, as it says on the screen, or on www.thefilmbite.com.
Lovely. Thank you very much for watching. Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.